Saturday morning, New York sports fans. It is a good one. The Knicks can win it a couple hours from now. I'm Danielle McCartan. I'll be talking all things New York sports with you right up till 5 a.m. right here in New York City and beyond. Happy Toy Story 5 announcement and release date next week as well. Thanks for tuning in. You've got Ray Jarvis and I live right here in Lower Manhattan, 888-808-1019. Call me up. Be part of the conversation. If for some reason you can't, if you listen on the transistor radio in your bed, you can always tweet me or Instagram or Facebook. It's at Coach MCCARTAN. You can be part of it that way as well. Okay, so let me be. It's 2:01 in the morning right here in New York City, the epicenter of the NBA universe. And I want to be among the first to welcome you to Spurs Elimination Day. That's right, the 13th of June, 2026. A day 53 years in the making. Look, I want the Knicks to win it at home. I do. I want to see my friend since college, now the arena DJ at Madison Square Garden, Dan Monopoly at Monopoly Music. I want to see him go absolutely viral again. I want more celebrities to slide into his DMs congratulating him for his work. And I want to tell you that I was at his first DJ gig ever, his frats party. Shout out Roundup College of New Jersey. But I want to see the Garden's iconic roof blow off 1,000,000%. But at the same time, you can't let the Spurs back into this series just because you selfishly want to see them win it at home. You take care of business in Texas and you let the week-long party commence here in New York City. I have to play something for you from the world's tallest crybaby. Here is Victor Wembanyama from Friday, 4 p.m. or so. Here's the world's tallest crybaby. Run it.
Everybody knows we're going to do it.
Yeah, in your dreams, pal. Everybody, first, it was like a Freudian slip. Everybody thinks, everybody knows we're going to do it. Yeah, okay, in your dreams, pal. Sweet dreams, Victor Wembanyama. In fact, Victor, dirty player Wembanyama, shouldn't even have been playing in this game. He should have been suspended for flagrance. And yet this is what he has to say? Forget about it. And there is no doubt about it that this is a season and this Knicks team is a team of destiny. It just feels that way. I mean, these New York Knicks, their experience has far outweighed San Antonio's experience or inexperience in every step of the way. There's something to be said for having, you know, mostly Eastern Conference Finals, but mostly been there, done that. Oh, and speaking of Wembanyama, oh, isn't he the guy, the choke artist, that threw an outlet pass straight between his teammates' shoulders as the seconds waned? Isn't he the guy who then missed the game-winning shot at the Garden just seconds later? I mean, get out of here, dude. Just stop. It's not a matter of if the Knicks win at all. It's a matter of when. So what happens when the Knicks take care of business and hoist that Larry O'Brien championship trophy for the first time in 53 years, a lifetime for most? What would this title for this team mean for this city? What would a parade look like? Will there be school on that day? That's what I want to know. Or can I get an excuse absence to be in New York for the parade? And I know, I don't get too far ahead of yourself. I know, I get it. But I can't help it. And I think of the teams in our area, you know, all of them. And I think of the Knicks and I think of the Jets. They have been the sorriest franchises for the longest. I mean, the Jets still are, but at now at least one of them has a chance to end a miserable, decades-long title drought. 53 years of safe, not dangerous, jubilation will be unleashed in this city. That is why this is going to be a parade for the ages. They're going to be able to hear Knicks fans all the way in San Antonio. And I got to say, if anybody who has any sort of pull is listening right now, this parade route has got to be extended. It needs to be longer because there is no possible way for everyone that wants to be part of it. They're not going to be able to cram into the space allotted for the current parade route. I mean, this is a Knicks city. It always has been. I mean, evict the Nets back to New Jersey. And I got to say, though, I've been watching everything coming out of the Knicks press conferences and locker rooms and all that. And I've got three audios to play for you. And I just want to say, I am very glad that the Knicks players aren't making parade plans like me. I mean, well, obviously, and here, and this has been a very common kind of rallying crowd cry. Here is Jalen Brunson first.
0-0, the way it's been. It has to be that way. And I feel like us moving forward with that mindset can really benefit us, but it just, there's nothing to celebrate. It's not over yet. Not even close.
Yeah, and it does. It does have to be that way. And he was asked again, that was from, I think it was right after the game, game four. And he was asked again Friday about the same thing. All he said, he kind of put his head down. You know, he's very stoic. He kind of put his head down, and all he answered was, it's 0-0. And that's it. And that's the right mentality. As a player, that's the right mentality to have. I'm talking from a fan's perspective. Like, you're excited about this. One win away, four quarters away. But it starts, you know, it starts from the top. And it starts with Mike Brown, and then filters down into Jalen Brunson, the leader of this team. And then you go to a guy like Mikal Bridges, who has clearly embraced his role on this team like everybody has, but it trickles down to a role player. And here's Mikal Bridges kind of echoing the same sentiment.
And media stuff, maybe a little bit more, can't control it right now. But as a player, we know our job's not finished. So we're ready.
Yeah. And there's no doubt about it that the Knicks are going to be ready. They're not going to get down to San Antonio and forget how to play basketball. I mean, they have been doing an excellent job. They've been working hard. You know, there's a couple things they can clean up, which we'll talk about a little later, but they're going to be ready. And the thing is this, and before we get to Kat, and he's the last audio I have, did you see, maybe you've been affected by it, the San Antonio Spurs through Ticketmaster are starting to go through and cancel any tickets that were purchased by somebody outside, basically without a credit card in Texas. They're going through. Can you imagine you booked the flight, which I tried to do today, not to actually book a flight, just to see. It was very difficult to do. There's not many direct flights that go in and out of Newark, at least, that go into San Antonio. So the flight was difficult to book, $631 if you could book it or more. Hotel, I didn't even bother checking the hotel, but I'm sure that's astronomical. And then you buy tickets because you want to be in the building. And then you like the night before the game, literally, not technically the day of the game, Ticketmaster is going in and canceling orders. I would use a profanity here, but I think that's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous. And of course, they're refunding the money, but who cares? They're going to refund the flight and the hotel too, and the time off of work that you took to go, like all of that. What if you're already there and they cancel your I think it's actually ridiculous that they can do something like that. So if you've been affected by it, please call me up, 888-808-1019. But I had that on top of mind, and I didn't want to forget to talk about that. Because I think it's just ridiculous. And maybe if you're the Spurs, you need to have other parameters in place. If that's what you want to do, don't let the people buy the tickets and then cancel the order on them. Don't do that. I think it's ridiculous either way. But it's not fair to do it the way that they are doing it currently. But anyway, the mentality of the Knicks, they are completely and utterly locked in. Here's one of the other superstars of this team, emerging superstars of this team, right before our very eyes, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Spoke about it multiple times. You know, we got to approach every game like it's 0-0. We got to have that kind of desperation it is to win game one of a playoff series. We got to go in there with the understanding and no comfortability, you know, just really be desperate, execute at a high level. Game plan discipline has to be at another level. And I've said it multiple times, I'll say it again, you know, the hardest game to win is the one that ends someone's season. So we got to be our best version tomorrow.
Do you believe that? Is it real yet that the Knicks are playing in a game later today that's going to end someone's season and result in them possibly, potentially, in a couple hours, lifting the Larry O'Brien trophy? Is that real yet? To me, it's not real yet. It doesn't feel real yet. And there was a question I saw posted online. Are you going to cry? Oh, my God. Yes. No doubt about it. Yes. Yes. So speaking of Karl-Anthony Towns, I guess on a more precise scale here, my question is, maybe we can weave this question throughout the night, who should win MVP of this series should the Knicks go on and win it, whether it be on Saturday or the next day or the next game, game seven, whatever it is, who should win MVP of this series as you see it right now? Because like I know Jalen Brunson is the face of this franchise, no doubt about it. I know Jalen Brunson has put up the numbers to win the award, most likely, and he's the odds-on favorite to do so. And this is no shade to Jalen Brunson at all whatsoever. But my vote goes to Karl-Anthony Towns. He averages, through this point, through the data that's available to us and the games that are available to us, Karl-Anthony Towns averages 10.8 rebounds per game. Any player playing in this series, both teams, he's got the sixth most points per game on average. Of any player playing in this series, both teams, he has the highest plus minus, plus 12, in case you're wondering. Towns shoots 55% from the field, second highest on the Knicks, only to OG's 58. I'm knocking on wood here, and I know you're going to call me the broadcaster jinx here. But Karl-Anthony Towns has not missed a free throw yet in this finals. And all of that, plus he's doing it against this season, this regular season, 2025-26, Defensive Player of the Year, Wembanyama. If that doesn't mean anything to you, it should. And let's talk about the intangibles that don't show up on the stat sheet. An example, game four. You've got Jersey native, Dylan Harper. Shout out Dylan Harper, Franklin Avenue Middle School. He was just in the middle school I teach in, like, how many? 6 or 7 years ago? And he has a tattoo on his kind of elbow, bicep slash elbow. It says CL7, Charlie Lander 7. That's the kind of logo for the foundation of a student in our school that passed away from a rare form of cancer a couple years ago. I can't remember exactly how many years ago, within the past 5 years. And so to see that, you know, he's taking foul shots and you see that, you're like, you know, that's pretty cool. But anyway, he's the enemy now. He's wearing Spurs colors now. So we can like him all we want outside of this series. Dylan Harper trying to inbound the ball with 1.7 left. Game four. The Garden is on fire. The people, not literally, people are standing all around waiting for these final less than 2 seconds to tick off this clock and celebrate the largest comeback in NBA Finals history at home. And Dylan Harper has Karl-Anthony Towns directly in front of him. Directly in front of him. And not only, and on the replay, you see Karl-Anthony Towns is with his I guess it's let me see, right hand. He's motioning the fans on the court side to move closer to Harper to give him less space. I mean, how smart is that, number one? But really, what doesn't really show up in a scorecard is the fact that he was able to get a fingertip or a fingernail, at least, on Harper's inbound pass that sealed the deal for the Knicks. Because of Karl-Anthony Towns, the Spurs had a 0% chance to stun the Garden that night. Zero. Why? Because Karl Anthony Towns made a play that doesn't show up in the scorecard. And there have been plenty of examples of that for him throughout this series. Like there is a reason why Victor Wembanyama has not been able to take over a single game, control a single game during these NBA finals. It's because Cat has put the clamps on him defensively. Can you imagine what this series would look like without Karl Anthony Towns? Probably 3-1 the other way. And I know it's hard to pick on this particular team because they all contribute in wins in different ways. I mean, Josh Hart crashing the boards. And the one game he had like 15 rebounds. That's amazing. Then it was OG Anunoby high flying and shoving the ball, tipping the ball into the hoop in game 4. It's great. Every game it seems to be somebody else, Jose Alvarado coming up with a clutch 3-pointer. But to me personally, MVP always means the player that has the biggest impact. And the player that has had the biggest impact on this series for the Knicks, whether you can quantify it with data or not, has been and is, through this many games at least, Karl Anthony Towns. And not to mention all of the flack that he has caught all season long on this radio station. He has become and developed into a bona fide superstar right in front of our eyes during these playoffs. And how these Knicks play, this team-first concept, how their salary table is structured, I think this will show the league the end of the super team era. Yeah, you heard it first. In NBA basketball, the end of the super team era is upon us, and it has to do with the New York Knicks and the way that Leon Rose has structured this team. I mean, how could you justify it, really? When you've got a team like the Knicks without, you know, any of what the NBA community would consider big three players, air quotes there, and these Knicks are on the precipice of winning it all. These Knicks don't have anyone on their roster on a supermax deal. These Knicks don't have anyone on their roster even on a max deal. These Knicks weren't built by tanking for a top five pick. They didn't assemble 3 Hall of Fame level stars to go out and go get it. They built around a culture. They built around depth, development, and they have a star who wanted and chose New York City. And I'm telling you right now, this is going to be the blueprint for teams moving forward. Teams around the NBA are going to want to copy the blueprint of how Leon Rose built these Knicks. For years, the NBA told us, you need a super team to win. Well, the Knicks may be just 4 quarters away from disproving that, from proving everybody wrong, and ushering in a new era of professional basketball. And we have a front row seat to it. Everybody has a front row seat to it. And everybody gets a parade if the Knicks win this thing. But somebody deserves the biggest float in it, so to speak. You know, like when you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and Santa Claus, he's always last. He's always on the biggest float. He's always last. So who should be last for these Knicks? When it comes down to who deserves the most credit for the Knicks being in the position that they're in, who is most responsible? Is it James Dolan? Is it Mike Brown? Tom Thibodeau? For me, it's none of the above. For me, it's Leon Rose. And I'm telling you right now, besides as recently as flipping Terry for Alvarado, or as far back as trading Emmanuel Quickly and the Knicks' former number 3 overall pick, RJ Barrett, for OG Anunoby, I was on the air 10 minutes right here in this studio after it happened. I'm telling you right now, Leon Rose is at the forefront and has started the revolution of how teams are going to be building in the NBA. He was ahead of the fact that the CBA doesn't really allow for championship teams with 3 guys playing on supermax deals anymore. It's just not possible with the way that the aprons are laid out. Because effectively, the CBA now forces these superstar players into a choice. Do you want to chase the bag, so to speak? Or do you want to chase a championship? Do you chase a ring? And it seems to be that you can't have it both ways anymore. The NBA's financial system is now effectively designed to prevent super teams, and Leon Rose has figured that out really before anybody else. He was ahead of the curve. And I guarantee you, teams around this league are going to use the Rose and Knicks blueprint in building their own teams. You watch. So there's a lot to be positive about with these Knicks, and it's just a matter of time before they get it done. And I hope it's later tonight, because this public school teacher can't handle any more 5 hours and 45 minutes of sleep on school nights. I mean, I'm like, if I just close my eyes on the commercials, I'll be okay. It's not. I'm not okay. It's not okay in the classrooms of New Jersey. It's not. Oh, and by the way, I put I think it was either $20, $25 bet in April for the Knicks to win it all. They at plus 2,200 odds. Here we are. I'd win $575. And you know what that means? Going to buy myself something nice, right? Nope. All of a sudden, my car's rear brake pads are measuring at 2 millimeters, which falls in the emergency level immediate repair zone. So if the Knicks win, I win, and they're going to pay for 91% of my new rear brakes, rotors, and sensors. Huge. Right before a summer where I don't get a paycheck. So I'm bringing my car in Monday. Hopefully it's going to be Knicks in 5. 888-808-1019. If you're on hold, hang there. I'm Daniel McCartan. It's happy times here in New York City. Give me a call. Let's be part of it. 888-808-1019. And it's at Coach McCartan on your favorite social media platform. I'm Daniel McCartan. Right back with you here on The Fan. I'm Daniel McCartan. And as I sit here in a Knicks cap autographed by guess who? You're never going to guess, actually. Channing Frye. Yeah, he wrote Go Knicks on it, okay? My mom and I we showed up at Paramus Park Mall and looking into the sports store, and I'm like, what? So I bought a hat real quick, and Channing Frye, you know, he signed it. But what my point is, these are the lean years, okay? This hat came from Paramus Park, New Jersey, signed by Channing Frye. I'm sitting here wearing it now, and there is no doubt about it that was probably the biggest shot in basketball history here in the city. And OG himself was asked about it. He said, everyone's been telling me how much it means. I obviously see how much it means. It's really cool to be part of it. I'm very grateful. Okay, now that we've figured that out, I wanted to talk about shot in a different sense, like photography. Like, what is the most iconic shot in New York championship history? And preferably, it's one that you've been alive for. Like, I don't want to hear about, like, Babe Ruth. You know what I mean? Calling a shot. We get it. But something that you may have been alive for. And I'll start with my top one, and we'll go to some calls here. And you can call me up with yours. Like, if you were to take a photograph of any moment in New York championship history, what would it be? A photograph. For me, I'll go first. It was a snapshot of the not-so-well-known at the time Giant that wore the number 85, David Tyree. With that football inexplicably pressed against the crown of his helmet after jumping up to make the improbable catch after Eli Manning, who we know is very fleet of foot, Eli Manning somehow got out of what looked to be a surefire sack. And of course, the Giants went on to win that Super Bowl and upset the previously undefeated Patriots. So something in action that is unforgettable in our city is that. Number two is going to be OG Anunoby and that play, that tip-in, if the Knicks go ahead and win this championship this year. Curious to see what your snapshots in New York championship lore, I guess, are. Snapshots. Could be any team, but it has to be from a championship either, you know, series like the Knicks are playing in right now, or a World Series, or a Super Bowl, you know, things like that. Can't be like the ALCS. Because I thought of Scott Brosius, but that was the ALCS, you know, the home run. So, got to be from a championship. So, curious to see what your thoughts are. Let's go to the phones. Paul in Yonkers has been waiting for quite some time. Hey, Paul, what's on your mind?
Good morning. No problem. I'm glad everybody's so giddy. Let me tell you something. The Knicks have a major problem on their hands.
Which is what?
They got two players that absolutely quit out of fear. Bridges is a complete no-show. He doesn't even want to take a shot anymore. Petrified.
Oh my God.
Number 44. I pronounce his name wrong and I get yelled at. So you do it.
Who is it?
He's our 3-point specialist. He's 1 for 14. Every 3-pointer is short. You know what that means?
Who?
From nerves. He couldn't hit a 3 if you put him under the basket.
Who? Ananobi?
44. No, 44. Shamit.
Okay, yeah.
1 for 14. He couldn't hit a 3 if you begged him. That's too many points in 2 games. We lost 1 game, and Wednesday's the other game was life and death. Bridges is gagging here.
Oh, boy.
You might as well not even start him. Because he don't even want to take a shot. He's choking here. Today, the coach did his press conference.
Mm-hmm.
He thanked all his starting lineup and never mentioned Bridges. He didn't exist.
So, Paul, you know how this is going to work, right? You know because you just put that out there. You know what's going to happen now, right?
I've been saying it for 2 days.
Well, I tell you right now, if the Knicks win on a shot made by either Bridges or Shamit, I'm going to think of you.
I'm not rooting against it. I'm just saying what I saw for 2 games.
Yeah, well,
used to get 20 points from Bridges. How many points did he have?
He had
the first game.
In the most recent game, he had 7.
Right. The first game at Madison Square Garden, he took 5 shots, and we lost. Second game, 7 points. He's been averaging 20 for fun. If he gives us his 20, both games are easy. We're not going to get it. He's too scared. He ain't taking shots. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
Same with 40. Look at him.
All right, Paul. Oh, boy. So leave it to Paul. We have a great night going. We're very positive around here, and he wants to point out that Mikal Bridges scored 7 points in the Game 4 win. Landry Shamit had 0, by the way, in 21 minutes. You got a point with Shamit, I think. But this is how this is going to work out. I'm telling you this right now. You listening right now and me are going to think of Paul and Yonkers when it comes down to it later tonight, because this is how it always happens. And either Bridges or Shamit has the ball in their hands. They chuck it up. It goes in, and the Knicks win. Paul and Yonkers, we're going to save that call. That's how it's going to go down. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you. You got a point with Shamit, though. 21 minutes and 0 points on 5 shots. That's not productive. A minus 13 plus minus, that is not productive. Mikal Bridges is a minus 2. It's not terrible. It's not terrible. But he's that sharpshooter, you know, and to me, I don't, when he gets a ball in his hands, for whatever reason, inexplicable reason, I say to myself, he has a good chance of making this. I don't know what it is. It's obviously the opposite of you, Paul, obviously. But leave it to that. Just put a damper on the whole night. All right, let's see if Steven Rockland has something for us. Let's go, Steve.
I'm glad you didn't talk that guy off the ledge.
I mean, look, you know what?
I'm glad you didn't even try. Oh, my goodness. Okay, never mind. So here's what Paul needs to understand, that had it not been for the referees, this series would be over.
Over.
Okay.
Over.
Oh, over. You know, and this is something that I'm curious to know how you feel about this.
What?
All right. I think it's very difficult to play when one team has to have white gloves and the other team is allowed to have boxing gloves, all right? Because here's my problem. I have participated in games in Brooklyn, in Manhattan, in the Bronx, all right? And I will tell you that there have been major physical, like, fights for less contact, then I'll tell you this right now. If anybody did, you know, when that the guy, when Brunson was just standing there, and that guy, like, just knocked him over?
Yeah, yeah.
Just knocked him, just, like, and it was, not only was it a flagrant, it was intent.
Yes.
All right?
It was a flagrant, too. You, no doubt about it.
Exactly. Wait, wait. And I'm sitting there, and the referee's like, no, it's a common foul, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what playground did you play ball on, dude? Because someone did that to me. How about this?
Well, wait.
Because I'm on
Well, Steve, how about this? You got Richard Jefferson, the known Knicks hater, who is legitimately calling it out right away. He's like, that's a flagrant. And it wasn't.
Wait. And you want to know something? He reminds me, he is to the Knicks what Joe Morgan was to the Yankees for a long time.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Or Troy Aikman is to the Giants when he does their games.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, and I was, one time, we were, you know, we were playing. And I, you know what? And I didn't even think anything really, you know, nobody was really doing anything. And I went up for a rebound, right? And this guy, I mean, I was completely vulnerable. And he pushed me in the back. I have a decent sense of balance. It's the only reason I did not go down. So I called for the ball. And this guy had his arms out like, what are you going to do? I got about 7 feet away from him. And I took the basketball and I threw it as hard as I could. And I hit him right in the middle of his chest. And as he was trying to catch his breath, I said, try it again, because that's as good as it's going to get for you.
Oh, and the trash talk.
I am you know what? If you want to play dirty, you want to walk through that door, like, what is it with and that crap? I will tell you that foul where Wembanyama had his arm, he was not allowing Karl Anthony Towns to elevate.
Correct.
And they called the foul on Towns. I immediately shut the game off.
You know,
I can't that level of aggravation. I mean, I didn't care. I did not care what I was going to miss. And let me tell you what happened after that until the end. I mean, in a way, I'm glad I didn't see it.
Well,
you know, because it was just unbelievable.
I mean, it was inexplicable. Can't describe it. And thanks for the call there. I had a friend actually who texted me at that very moment, and he said, "I'm going to bed. I'm turning this off. I'm going to bed." I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to watch the first half, and then I'm going to go into my room and watch the third quarter, and if there is no fight in this team, I'll turn it off. Remember, I'm up early. And third quarter rolled around, and I was like, well, I can't turn this off now. They're mounting something. They're mounting something. I can't turn it off. But like I said in the opening, Wembanyama should not be playing in this game later today. Not at all. The foul on Brunson was a flagrant 2, at least a flagrant 1, and that would be 4 instances, 4 points, and at 4, you have to sit a game. And yet he's not. Yet he's going to be playing. Which is ridiculous. It's like mind-blowing. Like, that was mind-blowing to me. Because I watched the flagrant 2 against Naz Reid. I rewatched it this playoffs, like this year in the playoffs. It was eerily similar to the non-call on Jalen Brunson. Eerily similar. But going back to quick, the snapshots in New York sports, championship history, lore. Number one for me is that David Tyree with that helmet catch. Number two, if the Knicks go on and win, number two for me is OG Anunoby crashing the boards. Brunson's shot fell short, hit the front of the rim. And he was just reaching up like go-go gadget arm. He affected the flight path of the ball just enough for it to go up, over, and in. And what turned out to be the game-winning shot in a game where the Knicks overcame the largest deficit in NBA Finals history. Mayhem at the Garden. Hopefully they go on to win it a little later tonight, or else this wouldn't count in my little game here. because it has to be championship winning series or games. And by the way, I got one on Twitter, a suggestion from Twitter from at DJMick321. Danielle, for me, the indelible memory and snapshot is the Bill Buckner boot in the 86 Mets World Series. That's another good one. That's another good snapshot in the lore of New York championships. The Bill Buckner boot. That's right. Good one. Maybe you have one. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to get aboard. I mean, also coming to mind is Yogi jumping into Whitey Ford's arms after the World Series perfect game. But, you know, that's after the game. I'm kind of talking like in action, like the Buckner boot, like the helmet catch, like the OG tip-in. What else do you want to add? The most iconic photo, still photo, from a New York championship, preferably one you were alive for, and none of this like Babe Ruth stuff. Call me up, 888-808-1019, and we'll talk some strategy, or some strat, as the kids say now, for the Knicks to come away with an NBA championship clinching victory later tonight. Yes, that is a real sentence. So what do you need to see them do, strategically speaking? 888-808-1019. I'll share my thoughts and get yours as well. I'm Danielle McCartan with you till 5 right here on The Fan. That, the familiar voice of Jersey's own, Karl Anthony Towns via NBA Entertainment. And 888-808-1019. I'm Danielle McCartan, and he's not wrong. It's time to talk some strat here, some strategy. Where do you need to see improvement from the New York Knicks later tonight, so that they can win the NBA championship? Yeah, I mean, that's a real question. The one that has been 53 years in the making. A lifetime. For some, for most, for me. Here's what I got. I got three things. Number one, I wrote a note in my notes app while watching game 4. I wrote, Knicks perimeter defense is a catastrophe. I then wrote, there's like 11 made three-pointers by Spurs, still with 8 minutes and 26 seconds left to go in the first half. Those are my notes. Some of my notes, but the important ones for right now. The Knicks defenders in the first half were not challenging the Spurs at all. The cushion between the Knicks defender and the Spurs shooter was, no joke, like 3 to 4 feet. Cool if the shooter's out of range, but terrible if they are. And spoiler alert, all of the Spurs are in range from those locations. So I need to see the Knicks defense stout from the start later tonight. No plays off. Get up in there and challenge the shooter, but especially those that are shooting those three-pointers. So it needs to be much improved over the first half of game 4. Number 2, credit to Mike Brown. I'd love to see no turnover Jose Alvarado and Jalen Brunson paired more often, because never throughout the regular season were they ever on the court together, which is crazy. Because they were plus 21, the Knicks were, when the both of them were on the floor together in game 4. Plus 21. So for game 5, I say, why ignore it? Lean into it. Take the crowd out of it from the beginning and put the dagger in San Antonio from the jump. And number 3, I know it's easy to say, but stick to Knicks basketball. Knicks team basketball. Play clean defense. Drive and kick. Pick and roll. Stay within themselves. Don't try to do too much. And don't try to play ISO hero ball. Move the ball. Get people involved. Keep the defense off balance. And attack the rim. Those three. And that's the Knicks brand. So those three things. You could take the champagne off the ice. You could pop the cork. The Knicks will have won the 2026 NBA championship. If they can do those three things. Your thoughts on what needs to be tightened up for Game 5 at 888-808-1019. Also taking calls on the single greatest snapshot, photograph, if you will, in New York sports championship lore, and preferably one you've been around for. Again, I don't want to hear about Babe Ruth. And I got a suggestion from Michael Ingeri on Twitter, and he says, hey, Danielle, what about the Richter save? Yes, so we'll go back to 1994. The date was June 7th. I was 6 years old, so I don't particularly remember this myself, but Mike Richter, penalty shot save in a second period of game four. Is that right? Second period, game four, Stanley Cup Finals. Anyway, the Rangers went on to win in 1994. And if Richter doesn't come up with that save, I mean, he is actually like laid out. Well, split wise, like he's split, you know, in half. And there he is stopping it right there. I'm looking at it. He's got his glove hand out wide. The shot went to the stick side, not the glove side. He's kicking his leg out, and he makes that save. Rangers go on to win. That's another good snapshot. Michael also added the Manningham catch in the Super Bowl for the Giants. Yes. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Matt in Albany. You're up next on the Fan, Matt.
Morning. It's been a while since I've spoken with you. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, it's nice to be back myself.
Let me offer first my snapshot, and I'm old enough that I remember this. To me, it's the surprise, last-minute emergence of the captain, Willis Reed, through the tunnel before Game 7.
Yep.
And then he scored the first two buckets, and then no more. And the team was so inspired on his knobbly knees that Walt Clyde Frazier scored, I think, 34, 36 points. They beat the Lakers handily. Yep. So
that's a good one.
That's my shot.
That's a great one.
As far as the current Nickies, I'm not going to mention his name. Let's just call him.
Yeah, you know what? Wait, Matt, I'm going to stop you right there. I don't call him Wemby. We're not on a nickname basis.
Yeah, no.
Wembanyama. That's the name.
Well, that's what I'm going to call him. I gave you my nickname for him. The world has seen what a filthy player
he is. That's right. Filthy dirty,
and
is my grandma.
I can't wait. Next year, there's going to be all kinds of karma payback when he goes around the league. And, you know, let him whine. And the whole thing also leads me to talk about something else, which is that the league now has been besmirched. They're totally in bed with the gaming industry. I frankly think there needs to be an investigation by some governmental agency with subpoena power to get these people under oath.
Well, here's the thing.
Because I'm not comfortable.
Yeah.
When you're looking at the possibility of extending the series by games, and the refs clearly are not calling an even game.
Correct.
When one team goes to the foul line three times as many times as the other team.
Well, and Matt, here's the other thing, too. I was talking with Ray when I got in before about this, too. It's like the fouls are not equal in quantity, but in quality either, because, okay, they're calling Karl Anthony Towns. He has to go to the bench like less than 2 minutes. And yet the fouls that they're calling against the Spurs, I mean, I'm trying to think, has there ever been a Spur this series that has been in foul trouble? I don't think so. They're spreading them out for them and attacking them onto guys that don't matter, really. So there's a great indifference there, too.
Well, the investigation should commence, and I'll tell you something else. You're not going to get at the truth with E.T.-looking doofus Adam Silver and his acolytes.
All right, well, you will
get at the truth with some of the refs, because I'm sure that there's someone somewhere that's totally disgusted by what's happening, and at a certain point, their conscience will be their guide, and the money that they're making will be, you know, a secondary consideration, because all it takes is one person to come forward with the truth.
Yeah, I know, Matt, I'm with you on it, and I believe there is something else happening as well. I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any means, but my eyes are not, you know, they're not deceiving me. I mean, there is, we talked about it. So the thing is, the NBA is not going to do anything about it. I'll tell you why. Victor Wembanyama, the Frenchman, like Ohtani is to baseball, do I think that he was actually the one placing the bets? Yes. Do I say it out loud? Yes. Yes. They're not going to do anything about it because he's a global superstar. In the same way, the NBA is not going to do anything about Wembanyama and his filthy, dirty play because he's a global superstar. People are tuning in to watch the knockdown basketball, which is great. I love it. Swallow the whistle. Swallow the whistle for both sides. Love it. But you have to call the fouls. I mean, even Richard Jefferson is calling that a flagrant foul. Known Knicks hater in real time is calling that on Brunson a flagrant foul. And another, just the inequity of the fouls in quantity, sure. But you're sending Karl Anthony Towns to the bench within the first 2 minutes of game four at the Garden because of foul trouble. I've watched every minute of this series. I can't tell you an instance where there was a San Antonio Spur that has been in foul trouble to the point where they had to go sit down, especially that early on in the game. It's egregious. So the tweets that I've been sending out, you know, the most engagement I get are the ones where I write Knicks versus Spurs and officials again tonight, huh? And those are the ones that get the most engagement. And we'll talk about it, but I listened in on the Free Odyssey app because you know me, like when big things go down sports-wise, I'd like to tune in to the local broadcast. I think that's something that's really lost, you know, in streaming and podcasts and all that. Like, you want live reactions. You want local radio. And I tuned in to the San Antonio radio station that we have on our Odyssey app, sports station, and they're totally okay with the way it's been officiated. Of course, they're benefiting by it in every sense of the word.